What's up, guys? This is Jacques. Welcome back to Unpopular. You guys, it finally happened. I got Spencer Pratt on the pod. If you have been listening to me for a while, you know that this is my life's work. Dreams really do come true for me and for Heidi Montag. That is the name of one of her EPs. Heidi Montag, Dreams Come True. It should be on Apple Music. Give it a stream. I am so excited to have Spencer on. Like, this has just been a whole thing. And, you know, we did have that situation where I cussed him out in the DMs because he didn't do my show earlier. And I was almost in tears because I thought that he snubbed me, but he made good on his word, as I knew he would. Some of you made fun of me and you said he's not coming on the show. It's not going to happen. You were delusional, but you know what? I had faith in Spencer. I knew he would come through, and he did. Also, he follows me on IG now, and he only follows 387 people. I am now one of the people that he follows, and I'm not going to lie, a little nervous about it. Not sure how I'm going to go about posting in the future, because now in the back of my mind, it's going to be like, I don't want to annoy Spencer. I don't want Spencer to unfollow me. There's only a few celebrities' asses that I will kiss, because you know that I drag everybody. But like Tamra for coming on my first episode, I'm ride or die for Tamra forever. Nothing she can do will ever make me turn on her, because she got the pod off the ground by coming on and giving me that super explosive interview on episode one. And then Spencer and Heidi, I can't turn against them. So those are like my ride or dies. But anyway, before I bring out Spencer, let's just do a few hot topics really quickly, because it's a long interview. So let's just breeze through this. And you know what's funny? I was actually going to drag Taylor Swift today for something that I found online. But since Spencer is like the king of the Swifties, I'm going to save that for next week. I don't want to disrespect him by having Taylor slander on the pod, even though it's all tea. So remind me to drag Taylor Swift next week. So, in other news, The Real Housewives of Potomac is back. Everyone is excited about it because it is the best housewives show out right now. And unfortunately, it airs at the exact same time that my podcast drops. So I can't really recap it because of the timing, but just know that I'm aware that it's back. It is amazing. I saw a clip on Twitter from the new episode, and it happens right at the end. It's Giselle and Karen going at each other, and Giselle is like, you know, you're broke, you're a drunk. And then Karen's like, well, let's talk about your fiery hot box, and basically saying that Giselle has an STD or something, and that's why she can't keep a man. I mean, a whole mess, but it's so fucking funny. And I still know there's a lot of people in Australia specifically that don't watch Potomac, which is crazy to me because it is the best. And there are a lot of Aussies that I'm going to give a side eye to that I know do not watch any of the Black Housewife shows. They do not watch Potomac and they do not watch Atlanta. And that has to be like some kind of implicit bias situation going on, because we all know that Potomac and Atlanta are like two of the best housewife shows, especially Potomac. So guys, get on board. If you haven't watched Potomac before, I think you could probably just start from this season, honestly, because it feels like a little bit of a refresh with some of the casting. So get into that. Housewives of New York. I mean, what else is there to say about this that I haven't said already? I've done some pretty deep dives and breakdowns on Roni this year. Last episode was pretty funny. Ebony brought up white supremacy, of course, and she was like trying to find out if the women voted for Trump. And then she was kind of like, well, if you voted for him for tax cuts, like that's fine. But then if you voted for him for something else, you could be a white supremacist. And I need to know if there's white supremacy in this group. And Leah's like, weren't you on Fox News promoting Trump and like being conservative? And then Ebony had to admit that her mum's a Trump supporter. So it's like, okay, girl, enough with the hypocrisy. The whole thing is insane. By the way, Leah's the only one keeping it real. Again, as I keep saying, I love that she actually brought up the Fox Trump stuff to Ebony, because no one else seems to have the balls to bring that up. And people have completely misread Leah. I keep saying it. I watch it and I feel like I get her. And then I look at the online feedback and it's like people are watching a different show to me. So I think I'm getting her on the pod soon, actually. And we're going to clear the air about everything. And I feel like I'm the person to do it, because I feel like I'm the only person that gets what she's like doing on the show and no one else gets it. Maybe she's like too aggressive, because I know she like really comes hard at people and at Ramona and stuff. And I think the message gets lost. So she should be on the pod coming up. And if she isn't, that's because Bravo have stepped in and blocked it and they're being haters. So hopefully Bravo give us the okay. As for Ebony, Look, she's not working out on the show. It doesn't work. She's such a hypocrite. Every scene with her is an MSNBC audition. We've all said this before. I'm just repeating myself. And it's like, girl, I just think, like, how are you going to come on Housewives and act like the women might be white supremacists and that, you know, you can't work with them if they are, but then you worked at, like, Fox News for 4 years during the Trump years and, like, made excuses for Trump? And I'm not even bashing Fox or Trump, so, like, don't get triggered. Like, it's fine. No one's bashing anyone. I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy. Like, imagine if Meghan McCain joined the show and she was like, oh, you libtards are too liberal for me. You know, if you voted for Biden, and they're like, well, you just worked on The View with, like, a bunch of liberals discussing politics for years, and now we're the problem? Doesn't make sense. It's not adding up. And some of the online reaction is very weird too. Like, a lot of fans now are framing it like anyone that doesn't like Ebony this season are, like, racists who are uncomfortable hearing racial discussions and social justice. That is such a crock of shit. Like, first of all, you are brainwashed if you think every single entertainment program is meant to be a political history lesson and filled with social justice stuff. It's not. You're brainwashed. Like, you have worms for brains. You have tunnel vision. You have a one-track mind. You need to wake up. You are crazy. You are a crazy person. I'm telling you right now. I'm trying to tell you nicely so you can go and get help. You are crazy. And the social justice stuff on Roni right now, like, it's not even authentic, as we can see from all the holes and hypocrisy in Ebony's story. So it's like, what, I'm watching, like, fake social justice so someone can get a job on The View? Like, this isn't even real stuff. And I can speak for myself and say, I love learning about racism and history and stuff like that, just not on The Real Housewives. Like, are you that fucking dumb that you need The Real Housewives to educate you? Like, read a book or watch a documentary. Like, you're a psycho. And smearing everybody that doesn't like Ebony as a racist, that is embarrassing to you. You are embarrassing. And the ratings for the show are in the toilet. So you can go down with that sinking ship, pretending that everything is hunky-dory while the rest of us live in the real world. Moving on, I watched Fear Street 1978. It was boring. I hated it. You guys know that I didn't even like the 1994 one, but, like, it was kind of funny. Like, it had some good jokes. I did chuckle. This one had nothing. It was actually painful to watch. My housemate put it on. I wanted to turn it off because I bought a new Resident Evil game and I wanted to play that, and he was watching Fear Street and it was so bad. I also hated the Gossip Girl reboot. Let me just tell you that, like, I don't care about Gossip Girl, and I don't give a shit, but I was, like, going to be a contrarian and be nice about the reboot because I actually didn't think that it was going to be that bad. Like, I wasn't, like, planning to really make time to watch it. My housemate actually put it on. That's how I ended up catching it. But I didn't get into any of that, like, pre-premiere, like, woke bashing that people were doing because I just thought that was bullshit. Like, everyone was going, oh, my God, Gossip Girl has gone, like, woke now. Everyone's, you know, it's all diverse and they're all SJWs. But I just thought, so what? Like, I think it's fine to make new cast diverse when you reboot it. Like, I don't give a shit. I saw that they're doing a new Resident Evil movie or something and they've changed the characters to, like, all different races. I don't care because the characters that they cast for it, they still reminded me of, like, the game characters, even though they're a different race. I really don't give a shit. And the cool kids and the bullies now are the woke kids. Like, it's not the preppy, all-white mean girls that were on the original show. Like, nobody aspires to be like, I want to be just a rich white bitch. Like, that's not what people think is cool now. Everyone wants to be, like, you know, queer and non-binary and transracial. So I thought it made perfect sense to actually have a diverse cast full of people that did look like social justice rejects. Like, and they are bullies, most of these people. Like, these are the ones that do all the cancel culture and that find your old tweets and stuff. So I thought perfect casting when I saw the original thing. I thought, oh, that looks interesting. And then everyone was, like, complaining about it. They actually did this with the Heathers reboot, if you remember. Like, they got Heathers, you know, the 80s classic with Christian Slater and Winona Ryder. It's an awesome movie. They turned that into a TV series a few years ago where the Heathers were just all, like, fat, queer, trans bullies. And it got so much backlash. People were like, how dare you cast queer people as villains? But I think the Heathers reboot was, like, ahead of its time, actually. Like, I didn't actually watch it, but I've seen clips of it and I've seen the trailer and I thought it looked kind of clever and summed up where Gen Z culture is now. And I think the satire maybe, like, went over people's heads. I don't know. It's on Stan in Australia, actually. So I might watch it tonight. Anyway, as for Gossip Girl, who cares? It was just long and boring and whatever, even if it is watchable, like, do you really want to take an hour out of your week to watch that when you can watch, like, anything else? I'm a huge Melrose Place fanatic, so I have a really high bar when it comes for soaps, because it's like, once you've watched Melrose Place and you've experienced how incredible and, like, hilarious a soap can be in every single way, like, everything just seems bad by comparison. Like, if you want to ruin all soaps for you forever, go watch Melrose Place at its peak, like seasons 2, 3, 4, when it's in its heyday, and like nothing will compare to it. Everything else just seems totally lame by comparison. And also, the OG Gossip Girl was not even good. Like, that was just your typical shitty CW soap, and people have blown it up in their minds now like it's some classic because they have all this nostalgia attached to it because they watched it as teens. The only cool thing about Gossip Girl is Leighton Meester, and shout out to Leighton and her very underrated music career. She tried to be a pop star for a while. She had a song with Robin Thicke that was really good, but I think it was a little too sophisticated for the masses, and she just kind of flopped. And then she did kind of like an indie country album, and that was even better. Like, that was amazing. And she also did a musical drama movie called Country Strong, if anyone knows that. I love that movie. It's kind of cheesy. Like, technically, it's not, I'm not saying it's like a masterpiece or anything, but it's like a country music version of Britney Spears, because they actually, like, Britney inspired the movie for real. Like, I read interviews at the time. So Gwyneth Paltrow, my girl, is in it. She plays a country singer who, like, ran off the rails and had a drug problem and had, like, a public breakdown like Britney did. And then she's on her, like, comeback tour and trying to get it back together. So kind of like if you think when Britney had her comeback with the Circus album, this is like a country music version of that. And Leighton Meester plays this up-and-coming, like, young country pop diva who goes on tour with her as her opening act. And like I said, it's not a masterpiece, but it kind of has, like, everything I love in one movie, because it has country music, which I love, Leighton Meester, Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, I love Gwyneth Paltrow, and I can't stand all the Goop haters out there. People are so pressed over Gwyneth and Goop. It's just, like, so funny to me and so sad. Like, all of these articles that come out about how overpriced Goop is. Oh my God, I can't believe Gwyneth is charging $400 for a can opener. Well, bitch, she is, and it's none of your business, because you are not even the Goop target market. Like, Goop's for rich people who want to waste their money on, like, overpriced knickknacks. Like, it's not for broke bitches. It's not for you. Like, all these broke people have, like, so many opinions on how much Goop charges for shit, and it's like, it's not for you. Why do you have an opinion on it? Like, you couldn't afford, like, you don't have the money for any of this stuff, so why are you even complaining about it? Like, if they slashed the price of the vagina candles by, like, 80%, you still couldn't afford it. Like, I just think Gwyneth is such a badass because she gets so much hate. Like, people have been trying to tear her down for years. People tried, like, the media tried to destroy Goop. They were like, she's so out of touch. Look at this crap. She's charging everything at, like, 5,000% markup. This is never going to work. And now Goop is, like, a big lifestyle brand, and they have a Netflix show and all of this other stuff. So Gwyneth won in the end, and I know people do get mad that she pushes all this, like, pseudoscience, like, health stuff, but I mean, whatever. Like, what isn't pseudoscience now? I feel like everything is. Like, I don't believe anything anymore. Like, I was talking to my friend the other day about something. I'm like, I don't believe the conspiracy theories that are out of, like, the alt media. I don't believe the government. Like, I don't believe anything. So, and you guys can't even afford her bullshit health treatment, so shut up. Like, if some bored rich housewife wants to waste her money on, like, a chakra energy, you know, cleansing for 10 grand, like, just let her, okay? I'm sure it enriches her day, and just shut up. Okay, I have so much I could keep talking about, but I've got to bring Spencer out. This is already an insanely long episode, so if you want more of me, please sign up to my Patreon. I'm going to drop another Patreon episode there later this week. I've got nearly 100 people on there already, and I haven't even had the Patreon that long, so I didn't expect that many of you would sign up, so it's pretty awesome. I love doing it. Patreon.com/unpopularJP. It's $5 a month. It's the same amount you would spend on a cup of coffee. I share plenty of good stuff on there, and it's a bit more chill because sometimes I get really fired up on the main show and go on my big rants. The Patreon is more chill. It's more personal. It's more unfiltered even than the main podcast, I think. I answer any question anybody wants there. This isn't like those crusty Patreons that just recap an old show from like 20 years ago. I'm giving you hot topics, exclusive gossip. I've been dropping OCT on there lately. I tell you which podcasters in the industry that I hate. It's all good stuff. I answer any question people want. You guys can do AMAs. You guys write me in questions. I answer them all. Also, shout out to my latest patrons. Some of you might be getting a double shout out here because I can't remember where the last cutoff was from last week, but shout out to Jamie and Emily, Lola, Elena, Robin, Leslie, Rena, Rebecca, Richard from IG, extra shout out to Richard, Katie, Angela, Valerie, Anna, Zanis, Simona, I Hate Nia Jax, Julie, Rebecca P, Tia, and Kazmir, or is it Kashmir? Anyway, shout out to you, Kaz. So yeah, just make sure you're following the pod, of course, and keep leaving me those 5-star reviews to drown out the haters. You know, the snowflakes like to drop a bad review on my page from time to time, so leave a review to knock them out. Spread the word with the podcast. Please share it with your friends and fam. If you're in like reality TV Facebook groups, give it a plug there, drop a link, go, hey, there was a really juicy interview with Spencer Pratt. There was a really good interview with Ali from Below Deck. There was a good Housewives interview. I like his rants. Like, just, you know, plug me and praise me because I need it. Anyway, I'm bringing Spencer out now. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and I'll see you all next week. All right, look, I'll introduce you and we'll get going. Thanks so much for doing this, by the way.
Oh, it's about time. Yeah. And then Heidi can definitely do one. I don't know the time difference in Australia, but like right now we don't have nobody watch Gunner, so one of us has to be there. So Heidi is totally down to do one if we figure out when, if we have her, we get a nanny or whatever. So she's on deck also.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, there's so much I want to ask her about, like superficial and everything. I've actually got a few superficial questions for you too, because I'm the OG superficial fan. All right. Okay, guys, I have my literal favorite celebrity in the world on the pod today. You all know who it is, so please welcome Spencer Pratt.
Woo, I'll be the audience. Yay,
yay, cheers. It's been a journey. Did you really want to come on here, or did you just feel bad that you did Juicy Scoop again and you knew that meltdown mode was coming, so you had to hit me up?
I didn't feel bad because my mom is like the biggest Juicy Scoop. I don't have a say. It's like what my mom, as much as I love Heather, my mom texts me every single day, when are you going back on Juicy Scoop? She listens to the Patreon. So that's kind of like, it's not even a podcast. That's my mom's channel. And then what I realized with how shady the hills is that I need to get on every podcast possible and hit. I mean, now it's on. Like I'm about to hit the podcasting tour. So I was like, let's start my tour right where I should be. But I also feel like, you know, we always tweet so much. It's like if you read our tweets, it's there. But yes, I knew the smoke. I knew the smoke was coming, but it's you can talk to my mom.
Yeah.
My mom's
yeah, Heather's gotta. Heather's another one that's meant to come on the pod. Shout out to Heather. She follows me. Girl, Heather, you said you were coming on, but she's big. Juicy Scoop's killing it right now. So
oh my God. She's top like iTunes every week. I mean,
yeah, she's smashing it. I need some of the Juicy Scoop clout. So come on over, Heather. You know, and it was hard for me to research this interview actually, because Heather got so much juice out of you, but I've like dug deep into the Spidey history. Before we start, can we just acknowledge that I am the OG Spidey fan? I feel like no one else comes close. In my opinion, you're not a real Spidey fan if you weren't riding with you like pre-Snapchat. That's how I judge it.
I say it all the time. And this was also before you even, I feel like, worked with the Daily Mail. You were just like the biggest supporter on Twitter. So I definitely will back that.
I was following everything. Like when you guys dropped off the face of the map and you weren't doing anything, I was on like Google News at least a few times a week, like Heidi Montag, Spencer Pratt, like what are they doing? And then you'd pop up at like the Crazy Horse or something for an appearance and disappear. I listened to the Spicen podcast. Like,
wow. Yeah. Speaking of podcasting, the photo editor of Us Weekly, Peter Grossman, who was like our biggest mentor, like in the fame game, and he ghost wrote with us the How to Be Famous book. He, when I swear there was three people on earth podcasting, like this is now, I mean, it must have been 2005. I could be wrong. Maybe more people podcast, but it was like, it didn't exist. And he was like, you and Heidi need to be doing a podcast, da 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 da. And it's like, I call him about once a year and apologize to him because I wish Heidi and I had started podcasting in 2005 and never stopped and just were like Joe Rogan level, 1,000 episodes, 2,000 episodes. And so that is one of all the people I was like, what do you regret? It's like, I just regret not podcasting. But yeah, I
know.
We should have been podcasting back in those days. We're off the map because our lives were still very entertaining.
All right, let's get into The Hills New Beginnings, why it sucks so bad, because I was really hyped for it. And first of all, MTV pissed at you for blasting the show because every week on your podcast, you just like annihilating The Hills cast. Like, as MTV... like hit you up.
I don't even think they know they're airing The Hills New Beginnings. Like, I honestly, not even a word, not a text, not a DM, not an email. I honestly don't think the show even exists to the network. I think they're like, oh my God, that's on. Like, I forgot we didn't cancel that show. Like, for real.
No one's like reached out to you, or no one's even said like you and Heidi are the best part of the show. Like, they've no acknowledgement.
I have not. Heidi got some gold earrings at the end of this shoot. She got some gold earrings where they're very beautiful from MTV executives thanking her for, you know, her hard work. And I thought they sent everybody a gift. And then Brody was over here the other night apologizing to us. And drinking some wine, and it came up about whatever. And she's like, well, they did send me some gold earrings. He's like, they didn't send me anything. I was like, oh, okay. Well, you didn't deserve anything, but I thought they definitely sent everyone something. So that made me like, okay, but no, there's nothing, no interaction.
I want to break this down because I want to figure out like what went wrong. Cause I know that you had like two main loads of filming, right? Like, you had a pre-pandemic and then like a post-pandemic. And the way that I've heard you on different podcasts describe the pre-pandemic filming was like all this shit went down, like Justin, Bobby and Brody fought and there was drama and then everyone comes back and then no one wants to do anything. Like, what changed? Like, what's going on?
I think everyone caught, like, realized like where they, like, it was on, like the show was going to be so much better than it was right now. I don't know if it would be like a hit show. I think the cast, like, I've talked to one of the main producers and he's like, even their best is not good. Like, so it would have been watchable and more entertaining because it would have been real. But I think all everyone's real life storylines, they had a year in between the pandemic to like think about what was happening. And then they got to be like, oh, I don't want that on TV. This is how I'm going to portray myself. Like, so that's my theory. I don't know what happened. Like, it's like body snatcher weird how everybody 180'd so hard. It's like, what? It was even weirder at filming than watching it. Cause even my friends will be like, what? Like, I have actual like real friends that watch it every now and then just to like be like, oh, what's on your show? And like, my buddy yesterday said he was bored and he binge watched 7 episodes, shout out Panero. And he's like, that was the weirdest, most awkward thing I've ever watched. And I was like, it felt like that.
Do the people just switch? Like, you know them all off camera, obviously. Once the camera's on, is it like you're filming with a different person?
No, they all got that weird when I would say they're more interesting when the cameras turn off because they're not as Lauren Weber, the first season one showrunner, executive producer, said, this cast is so good at image crafting. So the image crafting is gone, but no, they're awkward and you don't like them. Cameras on, off, like, so.
You know, with Caitlin, so is that true that she wasn't meant to come back and then she like begged the producers and she's like, I'm going to date, I'm going to show you all my life, I'm going to give you all this, and then they bring her back and she does nothing?
Oh, the pitches that I was hearing, they were cut, like, I was actually rooting for her when they were like, oh, we're not bringing her back, but she's saying she's going to do this and that. But in fairness to her, she was like pretty much, whether it was fake or not, her and Justin Bobby were like having dates, like she was on like, so she would, that was interesting to me, like, cause they both were doing that, whether it was fake or not, like, you don't like, you choose to do a storyline. So both of you are fine to do this right in front of Brody's face. Like, I find that interesting, fake or not, fourth wall. Like, that's the fake storyline you want to do. Like, okay, Justin. Okay, Caitlin. So I'll give her that. She was trying. And then when it came back, like, that was dead. And I don't know if he just, what happened with it? I think she had the boyfriend, so she couldn't pretend to be with a guy, but she could kind of, you know, and then I think she was saying that she was going to be, you know, I think the word they were using was fluid. And then once she realized that, like, Caroline was not like a big focal point of the show, she wasn't the new Misha Barton, and she was like, I'm not pretending to do that with her or whatever. You know, it's all speculation. Yeah. I'm alleging. No. I don't. This is just my theory.
I feel like Caitlin, if she had came in and been like, I'm going to give you everything, like, she could have been like the next Audrina or the next Whitney or the next like hit Hills girl, like it girl, and then she didn't.
Also, the weirdest part about this cast, including Audrina, they all have everything on Google. And then they don't put anything on the TV, the show that pays them thousands and thousands of dollars. So all Audrina's drama with her ex, it's all on TMZ. Like, court released this. Like, so this TMZ gets more ratings than The Hills. And then it's free there. Why aren't you discussing this on your reality show and getting paid and even putting your own spin on it? You're so good at trying to, you know, control the narrative and make stories up and lie. Why wouldn't you lie on the show? You know, because, you know, not everything came out on TMZ is what she knows. I know. And so I think she was worried that more would come out, which I wouldn't let out. You know, it's not for me, but there's more to Audrina. That's all, you know, she's Justin Bobby had a great quote last season. They didn't use it. And, you know, when I was like, poor Audrina, something, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, none of you know the real Audrina. And I was like, whoa, I know I don't. What, please describe her like in front of these cameras, but he did.
Can you give some insights into Audrina? Because I did want to ask about that, because she is like, I've always found Audrina one of the most boring, like, even back in The Hills, I was like, she's so boring. But then you saying that she has this like other side to her.
Oh, she's boring when she's controlling what she wants to look like on TV. Like, that girl is, I mean, how are her and Brody up till sunrise if they're not having sex, like they say on the show, and they're having deep talks? What type of person can be up, like, a boring person cannot talk till sunrise? You know what I mean? Where is that personality? So that tells you right there, because we've never seen that personality where you can talk to somebody till sunrise every time you guys hang out. Like, I really think that's what they do. I don't think they have sex. Like, Brody. Brody has basically like made it very clear that's not happened. Maybe it has once or twice in the past and they forgot, but like, it was not a thing. They were not hooking up.
So it's more talking and partying together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, to me, watching the show, I got to read, like, was Audrina like the other woman in Caitlin and Brody's marriage? Because how is he going to be having conversations with another woman that he's like attracted to while he's someone else?
And then, I love, she was like, but now I get it. It's like me. It's like when Heidi's insensitive to me is like me being insensitive. No, girl. Heidi was not at freaking your husband's house when you're sleeping in the other room drinking Coronas till sunrise with the, like, no, that never happened. So there's no analogy there. No comparison. But that was cute little try, little reach. But yeah. And I think that was a real moment in the show that I was like, you know, trying, and she was mad about it. It's like, girl, this is what you did. You guys are talking about it. Like, let's talk about this. Let's explain yourself. How is that cool that, but they say they're best friends. But I would never have a best friend that's a woman in the house while she's sleeping, talking with me till sunrise, attractive or not attractive. That's just not even in the realm of possibilities.
No married couple would.
No, I mean, so that's like, what I mean. Like, what? How
so
are you,
inappropriate.
How are you validating this and trying to be like, oh, now I get it. The producer just told me I come off bad. Let me say that it's insensitive. Like, Heidi's insensitive, girl.
But then we had that other scene, right, where when Brody went to meet Kristen and then Audrina was in the car, but then you were saying on one of the podcasts that Audrina knew that was going to get caught. So, like, what does she want to, like, she just wants to hint it, but then she doesn't want to address it. Is that what the goal
that's
is?
That's the weirdest part. Like, I think that was trying to shut down. She didn't know how much Kristen was going to be coming on the show. So, in my mind, that was her way to like kill the Brody Kristen storyline, because she'd already shut off the Sean Stewart one because she was like, I'm just going to leech on to Brody being my storyline and get through the season. And then she's like, oh no, Kristen and Brody are going to be a thing because Kristen's single, Brody's single, and they weren't actually in a relationship. Brody actually is attracted to her. So I think that was her way of, you know, hijacking that storyline, which it did upstage anything from the beach. Cause I was just like, wait, what? Why was she in the car? And you didn't need to share a car with Brody to go film. You knew that was going to happen. You knew they were going to film Brody getting out of the car, and MTV's paying for that car. You say, I want my own car. I'm like, they would never say, oh no, drive with Brody. They didn't even want that. Like, they wanted the Kristen thing. So in my mind, she was trying to like vampire that, or leech
like
out
sabotage.
That storyline and kill that excitement and be like, oh no, Adrina and Brody are a thing. You know, otherwise, if it's not a thing, get out of the car, talk to Kristen and be in the scene. Don't be like hiding and make it this weird, awkward thing. It's like,
so if Adrina went to Brody and went, hey, I want to like, let's start dating or something, would he be into that? Or would he be like,
hell no. Brody is dating a, not to put his business out there, but like his friend he's with right now is a 23-year-old that's not, doesn't have kids, that hasn't been married. Like, Brody is not doing the, you know, try to have complicated relationship. Not to mention, she lives in Orange County. Brody is not leaving Malibu unless he's going to get paid to get DJ'd. So, no.
So she's just clout chasing, trying to kind of
get she's just trying to make a storyline, like get paid, which I'm fine with, but like,
put it on the show properly.
Yeah, like do it more. Don't get mad at Heidi when we bring up the only storyline you're attaching to and be like, I can't believe Heidi's brought it up at the dinner table on our reality show when I keep saying, you know, that Brody and I are really good friends and stay up all night. Like, don't even hint at it. Just be like, no, there's nothing there. Like, you hint at it, and then when anyone tries to make it your storyline, then we're the bad guys. Like, it's ridiculous.
And Caitlin and Adrina don't like each other, right? Like, they can't stand each other?
Correct. Hate each other. So film that. Like, show you guys, like, make a show. Like, I don't understand, like, why we're being secretive about this stuff when we could all get paid a lot more money by a season 4. You know, if we get 3, they're going to do 4. So you guys are going to just shit, like, do be this bad on a season 2, like, where this is it? Like, get a real franchise here.
If you put this out there, if you've got Justin, Bobby, and Brody hating each other, and then you've got Adrina and Caitlin, it's like a love square with all this shit. Like, that's explosive. Like, that's so hard
good.
To get.
No, it's real. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's still not like as good as other shows, but for The Hills, it would have been way good. Like, and that's what was so frustrating to me. And I was like, just, that's why I also was just so drunk. I was like, F this, there's nothing here. I'm just going to have fun and just get drunk and have MTV buy. During COVID, 1942 was like triple the price. So when I was saying, you got to buy my 1942, like, I was looking at every shot, like, those were $80 shots. I was like, $80 shot. Like, it got that petty where I was like, well, this is the best thing that's coming out of the show are these free shots. Like, which I wish I had drank more. I wish I had partied harder and got, cause now I really know there wasn't, like, I was hoping they were getting stuff when I wasn't around. They weren't. It's even worse.
Yeah. Do you feel kind of vindicated by having like the audience reaction? Cause I feel like everyone like on social media is like, Spidey are the only ones trying to make a show. Cause now viewers understand how the shows work more now. So they appreciate people that are like putting in effort, and the audience can see that you two are the only ones like doing anything. Like, that must feel good at least that people can see it.
So all along when we were complaining to the president of the production company, Alex Baskin, about what was happening and like everything, like, I'm feeling this every day for over a year. I mean, it took almost 2 years to film that show. So amount of calls, and he's like, you know, at the end of the day, they don't get, the audience is a lot smarter than they were in 2007, 2008, when they remember reality TV. This is going to backfire in all their faces. Da-da-da. He was always saying that. And I was like hoping he was right. But the problem is, I almost would have rather phoned it in like them and been as boring as any of these people, just to like not even have any negativity. Cause it's like, I didn't get paid enough. Like, yeah, it's all positive, but the show, they're cutting it. Cause everyone's trying to shame us for having fun and like actually enjoying ourselves and not image crafting and not being corny. And I don't even, and I think they thought like, oh, look how bad. I don't even know what they were thinking, but I don't even think I should have been on a show where like the narrative is trying to make us look bad. There's no gain. And then our crystal business before the show made $2 million in the year. And then because we're hustling, we're doing the Snapchat, we're working. This took my whole hustle away, and I'm going on trips for 5 days, not doing anything. Crystal, we're taking Abby, Gunner's nanny, on trips for the show where she's one of our best businesswomen in the office. So it was like, we actually lost so much money doing this show. Like it. So now we're finally, like this was our best week in a year, which is ironic because it was supposedly the episode where we look the worst and oh my God, how did they do that to the poor Wallies or whatever? And it was actually our best night of sales of the whole season, maybe even since so that I found, like, I felt like the audience was like, F this cast, I'm going to go buy their crystals just to make a point. So I don't know. It's a hard balance because I love TV so much, and I feel honored to be on a show and have camera operators and sound people, and, you know, because I know, especially now, it's harder than ever with how linear TV is just so weird. But it also is like, why am I on a show letting these losers even talk negatively about me?
Do you feel like there was actively a plot to make you guys the villains?
Because I
was just going to say, because like sometimes in these situations, it's like just because you guys were the only ones doing anything, it can like naturally come that way. But you feel like you're saying there's a real actual plot.
Oh, I just said on our podcast yesterday, I don't think it's gone up yet, that my goal is to get Lauren Weber, the showrunner, from the season they fired her, the first season, she got fired because her thing is, I'm only following the truth. I'm not letting anyone make up these imaginary Instagram account grid storylines. And so it was such a big drama with everyone fighting with her. And I think MTV was like, this is not worth it. So MTV brought in this girl, Meg, who did whatever anyone wanted. And, you know, and so the other thing Lauren said is they want you to be the villains. They want old Spidey back. And she's like, I'm not doing that. You guys aren't that. They think that's the show and it'll make it good. I don't know who they is or who this person is. That's why I want to, hopefully she'll name drop. I think she will, which executive or who this person was. But she said that's what the thing. And then now that Brody has come and apologized, he said every one of his testimonials, he would storm once he realized the gig. And like, he was like, you know, at first he was fine. Like, oh yeah, Spencer's partying. He thought that was like a beat. And he asked me, like, I watched this happen at Brandon's. He like got the text. You can watch it if you want to rewatch it. He looks at his phone and gets the text of like what he's supposed to say to me. And he like laughs and he's like, Pratt, come here. And then he's like, I'm not saying this. He's like, Pratt, they want me to say this. I'm like, and I said to him, say whatever you want. Like, if you want to say that on TV, that's your choice, which that was his choice. He wanted to try to make me look bad. And he's, you know, that's, you know, and he even said to me like, I look bad last season. Have a little taste of it. Whatever the line was. I was like, okay, whatever, guy. Like, I don't care if you're going to say to me, oh, that's a big glass of tequila at poker night while I'm eating chips. Like, you're going to look stupid to the fans I want. You know, like, anybody that agrees with you, don't even follow me. I would be drinking that much at a boring poker game with a bunch of losers. Like, that's what I would do. So that's a reality show. So he gets the text. You can look at him. He watches his phone, gets up and does it. So then, and then he said to me, so the reason at the, and I'll fast forward, in Tahoe, he told me, he calls me up and he's like, can you come to my room, Pratt? And I'm like, what's up? And he's like, I just got to tell you, like, Meg told me the show's so bad and there's no story from Tahoe and that I needed to like set you up and I knew you wouldn't care because you want a hit show. And I'm like, nah, I actually didn't come to Tahoe to get set up. I came here to like drink and snowboard and have fun because it's you're drinking again. I thought that was the storyline. Fun, Brody's back. That seems interesting. And you and Audrina and Caitlin, there's all these other things, but we're going to set me up. Like, okay. So I knew from the start of that dinner, this whole dinner and everything was an ambush and everyone was in on it. So I was just like, this show's so whack. You guys are awful. That this is like what you think should be the show. Like, and it's just not interesting. No one cares that I don't like Ashley and Jason. They don't like me. Like, we were never, it's not like Brody and I were, we were best friends. There was story. Like, to me, that's interesting, our relationship.
Well, they're also ignoring what's going on in reality, because the reality is that you and Heidi became really popular over the last sort of 5 years through like Snapchat and social media. And like, the whole thing is that like, everyone loves Spidey now after we hated them. So why would you, like, if they're showing a fake version of you guys being the villains, like, that's not what's going on in reality anymore. Like, it's not fucking 2007, you know? They're not,
whoever is behind this though, like, I should literally have showed them my like Snapchat favorites. Like, my Snapchat was averaging 8 million views a week. I have them all favorited. Like, The Hills just got 400,000 almost viewers. Like, they're trying to make people, right? Like, you're trying to fool people that watch me film myself for 24 hours a day. Like, I've dialed it back now because it's harder with being a dad. But for 5 years, I feel like I look at my memories from like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, as it shows me my Snap memories. I literally filmed from morning till night, in the middle of the night, every day for years. There's people, there's no way you're going to convince them anything about who I am. Like, they know who I am. That gig's up. So there's what it is nobody gave anything. So the producers have all this footage of where the cast is just trying to make us look bad, their own choice, with this one producer that like enabled it without saying, hey, no, that's not your storyline. You two just almost got a divorce. We need to follow that. How did you get undivorced? Brandon said, blah, blah, blah's friend hooked up with you and you cheated. We were following this story. Not going to even say the names, but people were cheated with Brandon's friend and this was going to be on the show. And then it stopped. Like, so many juicy things. They're just like, oh no, we can't go there. Oh, we can't. This isn't. And that was it. Not like, okay, you're not getting paid. You're fired. We're getting a new, like,
well, put some. What they should have done is they shouldn't have signed people on straight away. You should have just got paid by scene. So if you're filming and then you don't have a storyline, it's not going to be on. You don't get airtime. You don't get a check. Like, they should have done
that.
Like,
is that. It is. I don't get paid. It's as you appear.
So even with that, they still, everyone still flopped.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's as you appear.
Fucking hell.
No, it's crazy. Oh, so Brody said in his testimonials that he would storm out because he was like, I'm not doing the Spencer and Heidi, our bad guy storyline that they're, and like, that's why he comes over now and he apologizes for even what he played along with, because he's like, I didn't realize the level of setup. So Brody is my witness that it's a conspiracy, and that's all they were, all the lines they were, is Heidi a bad parent? Like, crazy. He's like, what are you guys, why are you asking me this? Like, F you, like, no, like, I'm not saying this. He said he would storm out of his testimonials. So Brody's my, like, this isn't a conspiracy. He's the whistleblower.
So is this how you and Brody have made up? Because I was thinking before, like, how can you kind of forgive Brody? Because it looks like he's setting you up on the show. And then it's also kind of looks like he's wrecked the show a bit by not, like, he stopped drinking and then he's not doing the Audrina shit. So I thought, I'll be pissed at him too. But I guess now he's come to you and aired it out and apologized.
In fairness to Brody, he made a deal because during COVID, he was turning up too hard. His IG story was better than anything that's ever aired on The Hills. Like, not his, but like my friends who would film him. He's the most fun he's ever been. He got too drunk one night, him and his couple of the buddies, they got in a fight. And then they're all like, yo, you need to chill. One of the buddies told his mom and Linda's like, maybe you, and he's like, oh, watch, I'm fine. I don't have a problem. I'll take 6 months off. Made a deal with his mom and his brother to take 6 months off. And then they bring The Hills back when it wasn't supposed to come back there. And he says to me, he says, we need to start filming in January. When I'm going to start drinking again. So, and I'm like, dude, we need to film right now. Like, the show's been almost canceled 12 times. Like, we need to just film. And he's like, so he was transparent in, we should film when I can drink again. So I'll give him that. You know, he went too in on the like, oh, I'm sober character. Like, he didn't need to, he should have just been like, I'm going to start drinking. And you know, he shouldn't have tried to make it like this like holier than now thing, but it's like, that's all he had. So,
and the Jesus hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he keeps putting on his IG story that, and girls, right. They like it. But
so. I live recap The Hills every week on my IG stories. And I drag that hair every week cause it's atrocious. But,
Annie apologized multiple times to Heidi and I, he calls, you know, so, and he's genuine. Like, Brody's made so much effort, drives all the way from Malibu to come here because he knows we got Gunner and Gunner sleeping. And I know how much effort that is for Brody to leave his world, stop. Like, so he's in a really good place with me. Like, which, no, I didn't.
That's good.
You had asked me a while ago, I'd have been like, this fool is dead to me. But he put in the work to like show me he wants to have a good relationship.
Okay. I want to ask you about Ashley.
Oh,
because.
And sorry, fast forward. Go. In the finale, he. On camera says he should have never taken LC's side. He was a bad friend. They won't air that. But, and then I was like, he tried to though.
Yeah.
You know, so I saw, oh, he's even trying to, you know, do this on TV and say, you know, so that I was like, okay, you get bonus points from even being like, so.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about Ashley, right? Because I know you guys are in like the worst place with Ashley, but as a viewer, I kind of feel like Ashley's the only other person to me that is like kind of has some drama that even though she's setting you guys up, like, do you feel like,
oh no, I appreciate how thirsty she is, but yeah. Here's how I know I didn't play along. Her and Jason from the day one, season one, when I first texted them being like, and met up with them, like, hey, you should be on the hills. We need anybody we can get here that's connected to LC. And they were like, well, what's our drama? What's our story? Every time. That's why they went after, Brody and Caitlin. So I, you know, but don't try to do this. Like, oh my God, like just make real drama. Like there's, you know, it's, or, you know, even it out. Like you don't need to make it. There's a whole cast. Have drama with everybody. If you're that thirsty, don't just like, you know, which, so I appreciate thirstiness and desperate and airtime. Like I know what's going on here. It's like, it's just not interesting because no one cares. It's like, oh, like you're boring and we're not. Like that's not drama.
I know. I see her trying, but I think she's faking stuff. I said this on my IG stories. I got so many responses. I did not see any tears on the graveyard scene. That to me,
everyone DM me that. I like when she first said it's only an hour away, and then we like, and then a scene later. It's like, oh, it was a 4-hour drive. It's like, you guys, to make Ashley look like a victim, drove all halfway back to California to set that scene up to make her even look better against her, the ambush on us. So when everything went wrong, like when the producer super turned on us, is the producer has issues and said stuff she wasn't like, I don't know why she told us, like, well, Saturday you're getting ambushed and set up. And we're like, what? She's like, no. We're like, did you just say we're getting set up? Like, oh, we're not going. She's like, no, you have to. This is when Ashley's going to get you guys. And we're like, we're not. Why would we drive to Orange County? To, like, Smith, we'll do that in LA. Like, I'm not driving to Orange County to get set up. So that was when, so once they lost the, us getting ambushed at the sobriety party, they had to make it the Tahoe party. And they even wanted to make her look better. So they drove all the way to the cemetery, halfway back to California. No. But then
that was so fake.
Here's when she was entertaining pre-COVID, doing keg stands, allegations of some other wild stuff. Her, Jason.
Who did she make the allegations to?
No, allegations were about her.
Oh.
You know, so, which Brandon was filmed a call about. This is all on the show. You know, and then he got walked back because I think it was like too gnarly, da da da. See me in court, like, this is facts. Like, I'll deposition Brandon and his buddy. And she's doing cake stands. Jason's storming out. Can't believe she's doing this. She is wild, louder than Heidi. And living in the hotel. Like, way more interesting. And then, so I called them out at this Tahoe dinner. I didn't watch the episode, but I asked our podcast producer, I was like, did they show where I say, what about Brody's beach party? When you're doing cake stands, you two are getting divorced. And they're like, yeah, we talk about that all on our YouTube channel. I'm like, oh, well, this is The Hills, the reality show. How about we do that on this show where, you know, we're all getting paid. Can you do that here? And they don't even air any of that, which I don't get. Like, at least say that I'm right, that, because I'm like, I don't even know who you two are. I thought you were divorced and now you're fighting me together. So it's so weird.
Like a weird team up.
Yeah.
I feel like
you two hate each other.
I feel like Misha Barton, like, last, even though Misha Barton kind of famously like flopped on the show, I feel like she brought more than this cast is doing.
I have said so many times, I never thought I would miss Misha Barton so much. And she's more interesting because she's Misha Barton. Like, her backstory is more interesting than the whole cast combined.
And what's with Brandon? Because I was never that big into Brandon being cast just because I don't like having someone that's so much younger than the rest of the group. But then I kind of like him and I'm a big like Pam and Tommy fan. But I feel like he's not doing anything on the show. All we've seen is some dates with that IG model he's going out with and nothing else. And I think you said on a podcast as well that he hates all you guys and thinks he's above the hills anyway and thinks you're all
so
losers.
So our first episode at Brody's when we came back from pandemic, our first episode of Brody's Party, he's talking about how he won't follow back his girlfriend on Instagram. I'm like, oh, okay, player. And he's like, excuse me? And I'm like, what's the logic? And he's like, because I'm a private person. I'm like, oh, my God. And this is when they should have broke the fourth wall. I'm like, hey, camera operators, he's a private person. Please, like, don't film him on this reality show he's on. He's like, fuck you. I don't put my whole life on social media like you. I'm like, oh, that's fine. You don't need to. You're on a reality show. They're filming your life, I thought. And he went all psycho on me. And he's like, tries to get in my face. And I'm like, can I help you? He's like, you're an old washed up. And I'm like, at least I'm washed up, bro. Good luck ever washing up. Like, that is going to be hard for you. It's way harder being famous nowadays than it was when I tried to do it. Good luck now. So good luck washing up. And I'm like, old. I'm actually younger than Frankie. I'm younger. And I start naming him. And then everyone starts coming around. And they're like, who you calling washed up? He's like, duh. And like, it was a great scene. And I don't know how they didn't use it or what. And I think it was just so crazy that they were
I saw a preview of something of him flipping out on a camera operator at the end of one of them, and he screamed
that's
at the camera
like next,
operator.
That's next episode, because the camera operator is filming him talking to his girlfriend. It's like, so the problem with Brandon is I think he was down to be a reality star, and then he decided that that's not cool, and like people made fun of him or something, and then he's like, I'm going to be an actor. So he's an actor now, and he realized he can't be on the show. He can just be on just a little bit, barely, so he can still get paid, because acting doesn't pay compared to reality at that level.
Yeah. What a dumbass, though, because he's fucking both things up, because it's kind of like you go into reality and then you're going to have real – it's like makes it harder for you to be an actor. So it's like if you're going to go reality, then just do reality all the way. Like don't like dip your toe in, because now you're like flopping on the show and then you're probably damaging your acting career too. So you're just fucking yourself at like both ends.
The funniest thing I've seen in a minute, the other day he shared his announcement, which was great for a movie or show he's in, like a scripted thing. And Deadline or Variety or whoever, you know, they show you, put your credits of like what you've been in. And in parentheses, it says featured The Hill's New Beginnings. Like, and I'm like, there you go, bro. Like, you're not even appreciating what you're famous for now. Like, this is go all in. And that's why even Brody brought him in, because the real Brandon pre-actor had all these girls. Even he was sober, he still partied. He, you know, he's not like, you know, doing AA pitches on every episode. He was like, and it was like Brody vouched for this guy. Like, this guy is so entertaining. And it would have been great if we, like, he also said when he was going to come in to the producers, he was going to bang Audrina. How entertaining would that have been? The new guy comes in, he's hooking up with Audrina. And Audrina would have been down, I bet. Like,
that's good clout.
Yeah. So.
All right. So, yeah, these people are like, it's just insane hearing about all the stuff that like was really going on and how literally none of it made the show. Oh, I've got this is a Vintage Hills question. But so Jason's the one that made up the LC sex tape thing, right? Like that was
no,
all
so
Jason.
He actually was on drugs. This is back when he was on drugs and was shopping it. This was TMZ had this story. You can search it. TMZ had it from a third party. This is being shopped. So the whole me making up a sex tape, the whole storyline is impossible, because TMZ, who investigates everything, has a third party shopping a sex tape. I don't have something to shop. I never had the possession of this tape. So LC calls Heidi hysterically crying. I overhear her like, I'm going to get it back. Heidi's the good friend. And she's like, I'm going to get it back for you. Da, da, da. I hear this. So Perez messages me like, is this real? I'm like, yeah, Jason's shopping. Like, cause he's confirming, you know, this is what's out already. And I'm like, yeah, it's real. Heidi's trying to get it back. This guy's trying to sell it. F this dude. So then there's this intervention. He gets sober. Jason's parents are best friends with LC's parents. They all get together, make an alliance, like, put this on Spencer. This never happened. This is all a lie. So Jason, when he started filming again, Heidi gave him more credit than I wanted. It took 1 hour, but he's supposedly Mr. Make Amends guy, and I have to do a scene with him. I'm like, say right now that this was real. I didn't make it up. And he goes around and he's like, he never says that, but he then says, it wasn't you guys. So he says that. So Heidi was fine with that. That's why we continued filming anything with him season one. But that was like a condition. They didn't use that footage because, again, it makes 100 episodes of MTV trying to make us look bad totally shady. I mean, nowadays, like, NeNe Leakes would have sued MTV. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What went down? We were just 21, 22, 23, making so much money, didn't get the bigger picture. But, like, if we'd had a real team, like, boom, lawsuit, defamation, like, say on after the episode, Heidi and Spencer would have never made up. Did it, like, a real, nowadays, that would never happen. Lawsuit. Anyone, Heather Dubrow, lawsuit. Like, these, never and could you have pinned something that was real, that was in the public on TMZ as a rumor that I made up, then made me film a fake apology to, if I wanted to get paid my episode fee, and hold that over my head. And of course I'm going to do that because I won $120,000 because you guys just set me up to get in a fight where I had to pay a guy $175,000 for a punch. So I need every dollar.
So, and then Lauren, I guess, she ran with that because that was a perfect excuse for her, but even though she was like actually jealous of you two, but she could play it like off, like, you guys fucked her over. Oh my gosh, it was
amazing. A victim, this is, and you know what you did, Heidi. Heidi didn't do anything. You made all that up, you liar. Heidi,
and
what Heidi did was keep dating me when you said you were getting Heidi kicked off the show if she dated me, but Tony DeSanto, the president of MTV, was like, nah, Lauren, Heidi's good. Nice try. Sorry, your little manager, Max, you little punk. It's crazy. I saw this guy. I didn't know who he was at Frankie's Barbecue. And like, I didn't realize that was Elsie's manager who like did everything he could back then to like destroy our lives. And it's like, I didn't connect the dots until he left who that guy was. Like, oh my God, that barbecue would have gone so different if I had known. Oh, so like, hey, Max, if you ever hear this, don't be at a barbecue that I'm at. Oh my God. The worst call ever. Obviously, no physical altercation would happen, but I definitely would have put you on my story and made you a public figure. I probably would have gone live on IG. I'm obviously not threatening anyone here. I'm just saying, you know, I definitely would have exploited you with my social media.
That's just exposing the facts.
Yeah. No violence. I wouldn't hurt anyone.
So who made up beef curtains? Was that Jason or was that you?
That I've never had anything to do with LC and intimacy, but all I know is that is what all of, so I'm the bad guy, right? And all these guys, that's what they would call her, you know? So it's like, I didn't understand how she hates me, yet Jason, Steve, and all these guys, that's, you know, so it's just such a weird, like how they flipped everything on me, you know, like good for them. They're so good at what they did. That's why I always give them credit. And I was playing out of my league. Like I didn't have an agent. I didn't have a manager. I didn't have a publicist. I didn't start when I was 16. I didn't know the game. I was like just in the deep end trying to dog paddle. So yeah, I played myself.
And have you fallen out with Justin Bobby now? I think
I always hated Justin Bobby.
Well, you were, okay, at one point, you must have just been playing hype, man. Because I remember when The Hills was coming back, you were like, Justin Bobby's a star, he's a superstar. Like,
I was trying to go from 8 episodes to 12 pickup. Like, that's what I always say, I'm a team player to like...
You are.
If like, I want everyone to win because I want to be Jersey Shore. I want to get these checks. But if you don't deliver, gigs up, like... your little get out of being awful card revoke. Like, so, I mean, no,
Justin 100%, Bobby is so cringe. And
it's all an act. It's an act. It's like, how many roles are you playing? No, you're nomadic. You're not nomadic. You're on a reality show. What are you talking about?
It's kind of like, and also it's like, I don't have social media, but you're on a reality show. Yeah, so
you had it and then you deleted it because everyone called you out because it was your band page or your band had one. And then I'm like, yeah, you do. It's called Bobby Rock. You literally have an Instagram. That's you. That's on your phone. Like, you liar. So this is how big of a fraud he is. He acts like he doesn't have Instagram, social media. I paid Mark Schraber, who I used to write my Cosmo recaps on Siesta Key, to do my live tweets last season, like comedically, because I wasn't going to watch the show. And he did them. They're all funny. They're totally like Cosmo would have posted them. They're not like hard-hitting dirt. I get start getting these crazy text messages. We're at Bestia enjoying our date night, Heidi and I, and it's Justin Bobby like, what's up, homie? Like, who's writing these tweets? Are these you? Somebody who's writing these tweets need to get their teeth knocked out. I'm like, tweets? You have Twitter? All right, you have Twitter? What's your account? People are sending me tweets. I'm like, which one of your hardcore nomadic friends are on Twitter, guy? Like, you fraud, like, con man. So I was like, shut up. Like, it's a comedian writing him. And he's like, where's he at? I'm going to meet up with him. I'm like, here's Mark Schraber. You can go. He's a college professor. Like, pull up on him, gangster guy.
He should have made his girlfriend season one full time, that Lindsay Palis with the big boobs. She didn't
she's great, but she didn't deliver once the cameras were rolling. Like her, she was supposed to have a big showdown with the finale because Audrina was still like flirting with Justin, and like they tried to film their showdown and they just fizzled out. Next thing they're like, yeah, cool girl. Like they wanted to, she would have been the narrator if she delivered.
Epic. She's and, really she's smart too. I listen to her podcast. She's too smart. She's awesome.
Oh, she has a podcast now?
Yeah, but she's had it for a long time. It's all about being.
Well, she makes millions off her OnlyFans. So that's why her and Justin broke up, because he couldn't handle. That should have been the show. Him crying about her OnlyFans and her making millions and like messaging with people. Like, that's her job, fool.
Yeah, how could you expect a chick like that to like what? End her OnlyFans to be with Justin Bobby? Like, with how lucrative that is. Like, that's. That's crazy. So Stephanie didn't come back. You said on a podcast somewhere that she asked for like 90 grand or 95K episode 90. Or
and
something.
This is my favorite. She would like bump into the executive producer and the creator, the president at like Kathy Hilton's party or whatever. And he'd be like, love to have you, Steph. Like, what are you on? And she's like, out of like a movie scene, she'd be like, you know my price. Like, girl, like that's more than the show's budget. Like, as in like, like, this isn't 2009. The show gets 400,000 views. If we're getting 4 million views, 5 million views, you get 95, Stephanie. Like nobody's getting that.
Well, okay, well, I was surprised when you said that, just because is she in a position to be, like, turning down shows? Because, like, that's, like, still clout, like, still on TV.
She was so mad about how they portrayed her when, you know, now seeing how conniving really Audrina is, I would have to rewatch it. I don't remember season one. I didn't really watch it enough because Mark, I was paying him to watch it and write about it. So, but she was so mad that Audrina got away with how like shady, I guess, Audrina was, that she was like F this show that they let Audrina get away, you know. But well, for some reason, they make Audrina like some golden girl narrator, like they're trying to make her into an LC. I'm like, that's never happening.
Yeah, people don't like Audrina. That's the thing. Like, because she doesn't have a charismatic personality, you know, like she never has. So that's so funny, though, that you mentioned that thing about Steph and Audrina with the beef, because I was just rewatching a clip on YouTube the other day when I was like prepping for this interview, and it's Steph and Audrina, and Stephanie's like, and this is obviously something that had happened off camera, she's like, you told Brody that I was making fun of the Malibu fires or something, like, what are you doing? And Audrina was like trying to play innocent and lie, and I'm like,
now
oh,
I know for 100% fact she made that up. Like, Audrina literally is just a pathological liar, Kaiser Soze. Like, she really is a great off-camera talent. Do all this more on camera and then acknowledge it and then don't try to lie. Like, I didn't do that. You're just putting me in the middle of it. I have nothing. Like, girl, say, yeah, I said that, because you said, like, own it. Like, she's really a great producer.
Yeah, that's sabotaging Steph Pratt first season, then trying to like fuck the storyline with Kristen. Like, she just doesn't want anyone else to have like a romance storyline.
She wants her own show. She had it with Mark. Yeah, with Mark Burnett, and couldn't do it. Her mom is the star.
Yeah,
they're just giving her mom a show and not filmed Audrina's.
Her mom's epic. Yeah. So where are you?
Her mom was always in my DM saying how much she loved Heidi and I. And I think that's what even made Audrina matter, that her mom like thought we were more entertaining than Audrina. I think I had to block her mom because I was like, stop messaging me.
Where are you with Stephanie now? Because like after she did the whole body shaming thing, which that was like such a low blow, because that's like just to you, but also to your wife. Like, are you? And I know
I understood it because she was so mad that like The Hills was airing again, and like, for in her head, somehow she thinks it's our, like, no, you, they would take you back right now if you took the money, which was a great offer they gave you. It had nothing to do with us. So in her head, that has something to do with Heidi and my fault that, she, you know, so I get where the anger comes from, because it was like premiere week. And so it's not, the timing to me isn't, but it's like, I didn't do this. You, it's not my show. I didn't say no to your money. I would love you got that money, because then you're not spending my parents' money. It's like, I want you to have as much money as possible. Like, I don't want you not to have money.
Are there any big stars that have ever been in talks for New Beginnings? Like, have you ever talked to like Ashley Simpson or Aubrey O'Day, like Lindsay Lohan, any of these names?
I don't think they have the budget. I think they could have got any of these people if they wanted to write the check, but you got to pay to play, you know? Kristen Cavallari wanted $320,000 to do two more episodes. I was like, girl. And then it's so funny, she filmed the scene with Heidi and they didn't even use that footage. I was like, here they're not even using the footage they had of you, and you're trying to get 320 out of them? Like, come on.
And don't you think that if Kristen, whatever the offer is, if Kristen had just taken the gig and then put in her contract where you got to promote like my jewelry or something, she would have killed it. Like, the show would have been a hit.
So she must be getting, and she knows, $50 million in this divorce to like not really care. Because I've said this, I say this once a week. I'm Kristen. I say, okay, even halfway through the season, I would have come into these 5, 6 and even negotiated another season. I'm opening Uncommon James, Los Angeles. Every episode, you need to film a little drinking thing, like a little cocktail event there, rooftop, Uncommon James, fashion show. And Alex Baskin and the Housewives franchise, they film all the, they're not like anti-showing businesses and stuff like they would have. So do what you did on Uncommon James or the Very Cavallari on E without all the girls that you hated now. And stay out of the drama and just be a bit like, I didn't get that. Like, I'm like, what? So I think she had a bad team. I think I know who her agent is, and I think he played himself, and he doesn't, the agents only think about their cut. And so she wasn't thinking about her Uncommon James cut. Like, take a low, do it as a free commercial for Uncommon James for 6 episodes on MTV and tap into that audience, because you already got the E one and the Bravo peeps. So that blows my mind.
And I was surprised that she even kept that E! Show on for like 3 seasons or something. So if she's in there with the Hills brand behind her, like, that's going to be a hit. Like, that's going to be bigger than the E! Show.
She could have taken us to that. That's why I was pumping her so hard leading up to it. And then she turned on me, which I think I blocked her. And I was her biggest supporter. And then she called me some liar in the media because I said, yeah, I think, you know, in an interview hyping up the season, I say, yeah, I think Brody said, you know, something about a kiss. I don't know if there was a kiss. Maybe there was a kiss. I don't even say there's a kiss. And then you watch them at the beach. I literally said what Brody said to me in advance. And he told me, yeah, Kristen said, are you going to kiss me? That's what I said. You said that on the television show. I said that. And then you go and call me a liar in the media. I was like, what? I never said you're kissing. And she's like, yeah, you did. It's in this interview. I'm like, no, I said exactly what Brody told me. So I can't say what Brody told me. Like, when, and huh? I'm promoting a reality show. So I
you and Kristen, you and Kristen are like dunzo right now.
Well, she called me a liar.
Yeah.
When I didn't lie about anything, I said, Brody told me that Kristen said, kiss me or whatever. And even if I said, you guys maybe kiss, who, maybe you did kiss. You're on a show with your ex-boyfriend. You're single, kissing a comedian on TMZ. In Mexico, it's not like I'm messing with your brand or anything. Brody's like your ex. Like, he's a cool guy, nice guy. Girls love him.
Yeah.
F, like, are you kidding me? So that had me furious. So since I love her best friend, Justin Anderson, I didn't go in, you know, how I usually would have. And yeah. I just said, you know what? I've always been your teammate. You know, don't worry. I'll never say your name again, because I thought maybe I did mess up. And then I saw it air and I said exactly what Brody. I was like, I'll say your name again because you call me a liar. Like, I'm not a liar. What are you talking about?
So 1,000%, if The Hills is renewed for season 3, you're like, are you just, there's no way you're going back? Or would you?
Oh, no. I mean, I love money. Like, it's not getting renewed. It's not even amazing.
So
they would have to use another production company. This production company won't even do it. Like, they won't even mess with this cast. There's no way.
So it's just that would need like a whole new cut. Like, that'd have to reboot it again.
Yeah. So I think it would be like Gossip Girl with a new cast, like, of kids is how I would. That's the
only
chance.
Probably be better.
I agree. it's like get new and then great. Like, great.
And okay. So you said you're doing a spinoff. So is that 100? Like, you're filming a spinoff? Like, if you've got networks to pitch to?
Well, we already have a first look in our contract where the the content has to go first.
Okay.
So they have to, but the, you know, we're doing it with Evolution.
And well, they're good. That's fucking top tier production company.
Which we deliver, like the people, I'm the most boring person in my life. Heidi's the second most, like, she's more entertaining than me, but she's sec, like the people around us in real life want to be stars. They're all young, it cool. Like our employees are all stars. Like the Proud Daddy universe is mind-boggling entertaining. Like people have been saying, why don't you have a show? Cause they see what's in my real life for 3 years. And they're like, what's going on here? Like,
how have you got Corinne from The Bachelor on the show? Like she, how does she work for Pratt Daddy? Cause I've seen that on Heidi's stories.
So she has her own like aura brand. So on the show, we're going to collab with other reality TV people that we like, you know, obviously we're definitely going to see what's up with Caitlin Bristow and her wine and, you know, things that make sense. Do a wine charm for Caitlin. So each, you know, it's kind of like a surreal life docuseries where, you know, there's so many reality TV business people that have their own brands. Like, so Corinne has her jewelry and we're going to put our crystals on her jewelry with her sister. And she also is a lot of fun, you know, coming to the party we're going to have at Brody's house. Who knows what happens? You know, there's so many stars in our lives from other shows. Natalie Nunn, hit TV, definitely going to collab with Natalie Nunn. Like, Bad Girls Club legend. So
holy that's shit.
The, you know, so we okay, can just yeah, tap into, you know,
are you it's worried?
Gonna break the fourth wall. It are, like, are, we're going to have the camera operator on camera.
Are you worried about associating Pratt Daddy brand with a lot of other reality brands just in that, like, Pratt Daddy's legit? Like, you, like, because there's a lot of reality brands that come out and it's just, let's like slap our name on something where you're like doing like high quality crystals, even like the skincare and the oils and stuff you get is like, that's like high end stuff. Are you,
yeah, like the stuff we're doing with Corinne, it's not her cheap stuff. Like, I gave her all the I'm like, this costs this much. So she's going to now have to sell that for that much money. Like, so we'll never do a product that's not expensive. So the crystal part, and then like Caitlin Bristow's wine is great. I've had it. Like, so we're not gonna go like, I don't know what brand we'd connect with it. And at the end of the day, our part of it, you're gonna be like, well, dang, their crystal's fire. So the other half that we're bringing in for Cloud and their audience, they're gonna have to be on them for being like, dang, this is the good part of the product. So
and have you got the TikTok girl on there that set up Matthew Perry?
Yeah, she's our Kate's our one of our main employees. She didn't set him up, you know. She was
that
exposed.
Sounded like a setup to me.
She exposed him, you know. I think she was 19.
Well, I mean, she's still legal, and you well, egged
I mean,
her
it
off.
Still doesn't make 40. I told her definitely post that. You know, I was like, well, I saw the one with Ben Affleck Was it Ben Affleck?
Yeah, I think it was Ben Affleck.
Yeah, and I was like, you have one of these, definitely post this.
What are you going to call it? Like Crystal Crew or something?
I'm waiting from the title. Alex Baskin is going to name it because he does secretly, spoiler alert, he does most of the taglines for the Housewives. So he's like the guru of like catchy. So I'm like, give me the name. So I'm waiting on the name from him.
I was going to ask you if, because I heard you on, I think it was Austin and Craig's podcast, that you would go to Southern Charm, but I guess with your new show, there's no Southern Charm future.
I mean, if God forbid, Viacom CBS legally somehow can, you know, anything's possible. You know, obviously, I love that cast, and Kristen, I heard, was even supposedly maybe, like, if Kristen joined that show, and they reach out to us, you know, because you can, I want to be more of a Vanderpump and have our cast be the star. So maybe they're fine, you know, to let us be feet, you know, you never know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for all we know, Viacom could get merged with Comcast. Like so many weird things are happening right now in media. So all of a sudden Comcast and Viacom could be the same entity. And then, you know, so I want to be wherever the cameras are.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about, like, so back in the day when you were, like, the most hated celebrity and everything, did that, like, mess you up mentally? Because I feel like we talk a lot about, like, mental health and stuff now, and you got so much hate for, like, so many years. Like, did that mess you up having that level come at you?
we're making so much money that like my life was so good that like it felt stupid. Like the expression laughing all the way to the bank, like it didn't connect because I'm at Cut every night with Wolfgang. My portrait's on the wall next to Obama and Brad Pitt shot by Martin Scholler. I'm drinking Screaming Eagle with Wolfgang. We're smelling the $4,000 wine and we're taking private jets for our dogs to go on the vacation. Like second the money was gone and the fame was gone, then mental, like, you know, then I was not depressed. I was upset. I was like, F, like, this sucks. Like, but if I had saved all the money or if I had made Kardashian money, I would have been fine once it got unplugged in 2010, you know, like, cause I would have been,
yeah,
I would have been by tanning and just living the good life. So that was the hard part. But during like, and I knew it was a gimmick. I was like the media, like out of the streets, I'm taking photos with people all day long. You know, every now and then one guy's flicking me off or yelling, like, but that's the name of the okay. game. But like people were taking photos of me like I was a beetle, like, you know, like anywhere I went. So I didn't ever feel, you know, maybe these people all hated me and then they're posting it like I just saw this loser. It didn't feel like that in person.
Well, at what point did it happen? Because there was that stage where like, remember you kind of went crazy and you thought like the FBI was after you and everything and choppers and stuff. Like when was that?
So what happened that was so shady would really happen. So I think... So I was managing this rapper, a fighter, and then his manager in the music business was allegedly the leader of all the Crips in Los Angeles. So he was raided like a week before for whatever by the feds. Then the next week, that's when Heidi and I are raided with the helicopter, cops bust in. And the story was, there was a hostage. Once they had Heidi, so Heidi's supposedly the hostage, right? They have Heidi in handcuffs. I'm in handcuffs. They search our house for over an hour. And I'm like, so there's the hostage guy in the air. Like, it's not that big of a house. Okay. I wish it was at the time. So I wasn't even like it was weird. You know what I mean? Like we got raided. A helicopter came. They shut down the street. They had a notepad and they were asking us all these weird questions. So... You know, it,
that's there
was
insane.
A, you know, so it, you know, it's weird. It was just weird timing. And I was like, my fighter's manager was just raided by the feds. 1 week later, we're raided for a hostage that there's no 911 call. We weren't swatted, you know, and that's what just they said. Cause when I'm saying I'm not letting you in, there's no warrant and they're banging the door down and they're like, SWAT's going to kick down your door. I'm on the phone with my lawyer. And my lawyer calls the 911 and they're like, we had a hostage. This is a hostage situation. And that I've learned now is the only way they can bust in your house without a warrant is if they say it's a hostage.
All right. What about when you were
I don't know. So I don't know what they thought. Whatever that manager had, I don't know if they thought like I had it.
Okay.
And I didn't.
What about when you were in Costa Rica? Because weren't you like holed up in Costa Rica with like a bunch of guns and stuff?
So we thought we were moving to Costa Rica. We took 550K in gold coins. We're naive. We didn't Google houses in Costa Rica. Like I assumed it was like you would think Google didn't exist. Like I should have Googled Zillow, Costa Rica. Like, you know, we could have bought something in fairness. Nice. But where we wanted to buy in the Papagayo Four Seasons, like private beach where Bill Gates hangs out. The houses are $5 million plus each. So we end up just getting a villa house through the Four Seasons. And so, but we moved there with all of our stuff that we were going to move into our new house that we're going to buy with the gold coins. So, and we were going to buy it in the jungle. So I brought two guns for protection on our jungle. You know, we were planning on getting like a jungle, like with an estate, you know, where it could have been protecting us from bad guys, from wild animals, like two guns for protection. We flew in a private jet, go through security, no problem, nothing. We run out of money in Costa Rica, pack all of our stuff back up, pack the guns we flew there with, registered in America. I didn't buy them in Costa Rica. So we go through security. This time they're like, you can't have these. These are illegal. I'm like, I flew in with them. What are you talking about? Like, no, you didn't. I'm like, yes, I did. How did I get them here? Like, what are you talking about? And then they detain me. And so I'm in like a I'm detained, and this guy comes. Heidi's dad was smart enough to call the U.S. embassy, so they send somebody from CIA embassy, whoever the secret agent dude shows up at the jail, and he has me sign some stuff, and I'm like, "Who are you?" And he's like, "You're guardian angel or whatever." And then they let us out, and at the time, Logan Burdick, you can ask him, is my comedian that I hired from USC to run my Twitter then. And he calls me because I tell TMZ to make a story out of it. And he's like, what should I tweet? I'm like, whatever you want. I'm like, make it good, dramatic, you know? And he's like, great. So he tweets that like the Costa Rican jail smells like the tears of children, whatever it was. And like, unfortunately now I'm banned forever and I can't come back in. Now that's in my Wikipedia that he made it up. I'm not banned. I was never even arrested. I was just detained, and I made it more dramatic, which backfired because then my tweets made my Wikipedia like more dramatic. So years ago when Heidi and I wanted to go back to Costa Rica, she's like, let me call and make sure we're not banned. And the embassy's like, huh? I'm like, see, I made it up. So
what were you spending all your money on in Costa Rica? Just like partying and like living the good life?
Google later. The most expensive villa at the Four Seasons Papagayo, I think it was $10,000 a day, room service, four meals a day, room service for our dogs. Massages every day, every body wrap the spa had. Yeah, like I think I should ask them if they have it in their computer, like print like our bill. It was like 40 pages long. No, it's 400 pages long. It was the craziest thing ever when we left. So I should one day just read that as a podcast, like everything we did there.
And can I ask you, we can cut this out, by the way, if you don't want to answer it, but I wanted to get your story about when you ended up in like Alex Jones's basement or something, watching conspiracy videos.
All right. So I have no problem. This is pre Alex Jones even having like a website.
FYI, everyone. Yeah. No, it's not the current Alex Jones.
This was Alex Jones 2007. He literally was a documentarian. Shout out. That was his title. Shout out Heidi's music producer, Steve Morales, who did, Christina Aguilera, Ricky Iglesias, he's a big time music producer, big shot, our big guy. We're in the studio every day with him. He was a Alex Jones like stan. He would bring the DVDs into the studio and be like, you got to watch this, Spence. You got to watch this. They're mind controlling us. And just would never stop talking about it. And then, so then Heidi tweeted like InfoWars, and then Miley Cyrus retweeted like, what's at InfoWars? And then Alex Jones called us and was like, well, I want you to be on our radio show. He literally like, it was not big. This is like smaller than a podcaster at the time. And so we're like, yeah, we're watching all your DVDs. Nobody's chipping us. Like, yeah, like, you know, what we're ever again, I don't want to get chipped. I'll say that again, but this was pre everything. So the weirdest part, though, about all this is then years later on our baby moon, we're in room 911 and he's in room 910 and we come out. I'm like, Alex Jones? He's like, what is going on? It was like a glitch in the Matrix, like simulation life. So weird. He was super nice and it was all good, but it was really weird.
That's epic. What's the most money you made off a show? Out of all the shows you've done, Celebrity Big Brother, Marriage Bootcamp, what's the biggest check?
Well, just for one check was the one Richard Desmond wrote us was like, I think £850,000 for 2.5 weeks.
What show was that?
Celebrity Big Brother,
season. Yeah. And is that how you, when
but
you
I got- said no to $950,000 to go back into the jungle because I thought it was Kim Kardashian. But and Heidi had an ulcer, in fairness, and I didn't want to leave her, you know, time machine, you know, I should have been like, let me take you to the Four Seasons with a doctor, get you all settled, cozy at the Four Seasons, then gone out back in the jungle for the 950. But we were making so much money at the time, 950 was like paparazzi photos. So that was the biggest offer.
Were you acting?
And I just said no to 500 for a show.
Oh, was that the show that I know about?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's a no-go. All right.
Yeah. I couldn't do the quarantine. I just couldn't. Like, I don't have that.
They wouldn't meet the requirements of the, because you wanted like a suite.
Yeah, it was government. You know, it's like there's nothing they can do. I said I love to do that show in the future with no quarantine one day, God willing. You know, thank you so much.
Were you is that how you made money when you had that period when you were in the Malibu beach house and you dropped off the map? You just sort of like do one show a year and then you just like live off that money like a CBB check and then
And since my parents' beach house, we had no rent, we only ate tacos, and like, you know, these checks were all up over $500,000. It's like, that's, you have no expenses, $500,000, still had our one car that we'd already bought. We're driving around in an old Denali, so we weren't buying designer.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty, really easy.
Did you change the name of your podcast, Make Spidey Famous Again, because you were scared of the connotation? You wanted like a less problematic title?
Well, I just accepted we're not getting famous again. And it wasn't funny anymore. Like when, you know, early Trump, that was like funny and everyone like a funny pun. Hats. It was like a meme. And then it's like, I don't even want to be connected to anything political. I'm not political. I'm trying to be rich and famous. It's the worst thing you can do.
Well, you've got a poli-sci major, and I was wondering, like, because you did political science, and then do you kind of feel like it's wasted now because it's sort of like everything is so divided? You can't really even just like weigh in and give your opinion on things, because I'm sure you have like thoughts on political stuff that goes on.
No, like I was just telling my parents, you know, in a perfect world, I would have no problem taking either side. If it's The View, even a Fox News, I don't care. I'll pick a side. If you want to write me one of these guys get $25 million a year. Like I will be full on political if like, and take either side, whoever's paying, I don't care, and commentate for $25 million a year like these people get paid. So I think when I'm in my like 50s, that could be a great, like, you know, so every day I read every single thing. Like I have not stopped since I got out of college the first time. Second time I did college a lot of times, but I read every article, every book. So like I'm up to date. Like I just don't go into this because there's no money to it. Like somebody wants to come along, bankroll my new security I now need to have. Like then I'm in. Like great, but like that's a now. Like you need a bodyguard. Like people are that crazy if you want to take an opinion.
How would you have launched Caitlyn Jenner's campaign?
Definitely not on The View. Like when I watched that View, I was entertained. I was like, why are you even going? You don't need that. I would have like grassroots is my whole thing. That's because I come from like trap music and like hustlers. Like she should have gone to every single district that's a voting in California, like done a documentary. The second she thought like, boom, tour of us, hit every and like talk to people that hate her, talk to people that love her, film every single one of these conversations and do like the and get everyone's mailing list, contacts or Instagram and like really put in the like groundwork, hustle, like no joke level, full-time job. Like,
and people would have got starstruck just seeing her because it's Caitlyn Jenner. So even they hate her. Once they meet the celebrity, the star power would have taken over.
So that I would have done, especially during the pandemic, even with the mask, giving out masks, going to the healthcare places, donating N95s, like nothing she did, I would have done. Yeah.
And do you ever worry about getting canceled? Because you are on social media like 24/7, like you're always putting out content.
I've been canceled so many times. I am canceled. I started canceled. You know what I mean? Like I was more hated than Casey Anthony, OJ. Like the word canceled didn't just exist, but people have been trying to do that since the day like I got famous. Like every magazine, every cover, every article, The Hills right now is trying to cancel me. They're trying to make me like the bad guy to like AA people and people in recovery. Like that's an attempt of canceling. But like, no, because I'm not racist. I'm not anti-Semitic. Like real, true. Like I don't message people to kill themselves. Like I don't go. So like I'm not a bad person. Like bad people get canceled. Like, so I don't worry.
Do you have any bad blood with Snapchat after they?
Okay. You're going to do your own podcast.
Okay, yeah, look, I'll wrap it up.
No, no, she was just saying she wants to do her own podcast.
Oh, okay, I thought
but
she was
like... But
the bath
is going to overflow, so she had to run away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, well, yeah, she knows I'm like... I get in her DMs too sometimes when something. I give her a shout out. Do you have any bad blood with Snapchat after they changed the algorithm? Because that really fucked you up, because you were the king of Snapchat, if people don't know, and then they changed the algorithm.
I understand their business. And the second I complained about what happened and they said to me, well, are you doing swipe ups in your story? I was like, oh, gigs up. Like, so I was so excited for them to grow as a company, but I didn't get once they started selling ads. Now they need to control the, it's a business, you know, like it's not a free space. So they did so much great. Like it's a love hate. Like I secretly hate them all day long, but like they did so much good for me and, you know, positivity, and you can't take that back. And they did change such a huge thing, but you know, it's a business. And you know, if I had a lot of money, I would just buy ads and I'll be back in the algorithm. But the algorithm is now a business and it's Facebook. You know, you gotta buy ads.
Do you make more money off your Snapchat or your IG?
Now it's Instagram. My engagement is now 90 from Shopify, Proud Daddy, 95% Instagram.
Whoa. So
and it used to be 99 Snapchat. And the thing about algorithms is I feel like it's gonna come back once the gimmick of like trying to be TikTok is over with this spotlight. Like you can only give people $1 million a day for so long, but like, oh, maybe it's 3 years, maybe it's four. Like once you realize you're not TikTok and you need to go back to people who just document their lives all day long, who's going to be left? I'll still be there. So, you know, like I'm
so you're not leaving.
Long run.
You're not leaving.
Oh, no. No, Heidi's actually bigger than me. She gets like 5 million views. Like she's killing Snapchat.
I don't understand who is on Snapchat though. Like I don't know anyone that uses
Nobody.
It anymore.
That's why that's like you hate on us. So I actually want to go to them with Evolution and shop the Pratt Show, like whatever the title is, like the Crystal Crew, whatever it is, to their Snapchat main page. Like, okay, let's play now. Write the check. Let's go.
That's a good idea. Do you ever feel like with all the success you've had, but you have all these setbacks too, like the David Foster Show falling through, like the New Beginnings cast, like flopping, the algorithm changing. Do you ever feel like God is purposely blocking you from reaching a certain level because your ego can't handle it because you were just out of control during the hills?
No, I think my time still hasn't come yet. So I think like right when I think it's my time, I'm like, oh, this isn't it. Like, and there's so many times where I like, oh my God, that felt like it. And then it got bigger and better and more money. So it's like, it's always right there. And then it's like, oh, so that's how I stay positive. I'm like, oh dang, the next round's going to be really big because it keeps feeling so big. And then I always remember that the devil's in control around here. God, this isn't heaven. I'm not in heaven. This is the devil's playground. I'm in a Satanist freaking little city with a bunch of demons. I'm on a show with a cast of demons. Like, so I also know that it is a holy war and I'm battling evil. So like I'm up against some pretty, pretty serious stakes with Satan.
Do you think you're going to be able to handle it if the big thing comes and you're back where you were?
Now
I'm
a parent. Now I'm a parent. So like it's a whole different, got to set Gunner up. I never had that. So that's giving me ground.
So it's not as selfish. It's more
It's like now everything I'm like, I'm going to get Gunner's life. And my timeline changed because like Gunner won't be aware until he's like 17, 18 of like his lifestyle. So as long as I'm, you know, I got, he's three? Like I got a good 15 more years of grinding to create a world for him that I'm happy about.
All right. Well, look, this was...
We can do part two next Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm only rushing because she called in my fajitas, but part two's coming. We got so many shows we can recap. I'm on my podcast hustle now, so we can do part two, part three. I'm on deck.
Yeah. Well, look, obviously, thanks so much for coming on. You know, it was like a dream of mine to have you on. You're my fave celebrity. Heidi's my fave. Love you
Heidi's
guys.
Heidi's next.
Yes.
And I'll watch Gunner.
Everybody, head over to prattdaddy.com, get the best crystals in the game. They have crystals at every price point, all types of jewelry. They've got home decor. They have fancy essential oils. They have natural perfumes. It's high-end stuff. This is not your typical reality TV bullshit. These are crystals from like Afghanistan or something. Like this,
they're
like
all over the whole planet. I mean, they're so expensive, I don't make money yet. That's how they're there. You're getting them for free. Yeah. Definitely buy the tourmalines from Africa because I'm giving those away.
Good.
All right. Heidi's next. So much love. See you on Twitter.
That's it for this week, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you are following me on social media at UnpopularJP on Twitter and Instagram. Sign up to the Patreon if you want extra content and would like to support the show. And I will leave you with one of Heidi Montag's most iconic best songs, Overdosin', and Heidi Girl, don't sue me for copyright infringement, because it's all love. See you guys.